Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 15th day of August, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, it is total war. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru, Ambeth. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. Again, we ask that you be careful of language and also be courteous to other callers who may be on at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody joining the call is automatically muted until you wish to speak, and you do that by pressing star 6 on a phone or the ask question button on your computer. That will place you in a queue, and I will answer the queue in the order that they come in. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, reminding you that the Daily Mail page is where I post the latest information that's flooding in at this time. So much is going on. And again, that's why the title for today is It is Total War, because if you haven't figured out that we are in a war right now, you're just not paying attention. And unfortunately, there are quite a few people who are not paying attention. But again, the prophets told us that when our Heavenly Father got done weeding out the people, about two-thirds would be gone. So when you look around you, it's not unusual to see the two-thirds that won't make it. I mean, really, think about it. Two-thirds is a lot of people. And again, these are rough figures. Okay, my welcome in my three basic languages. Ame parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. And to those over in España, a mis parientes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And to my German kinsmen, zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim, or I should say beim Anruf. And those are all greetings that just says to my cousins, in the different lands where the Israelites are, welcome to the call or to the program. And again, it's interesting. You know, language is a science. Language is the science of putting words together to convey what's in your mind. Okay, thank you, Ella, for that feedback. Okay, now think about that for a minute. When you have a thought come into your mind, let's say it's a warning about a danger coming. Let's say it's an emotional thing. It's your girlfriend and you want to express yourself to her. So in your mind, you conceive what you're feeling inside. Language is the science that you can put words together that feeling, that intelligence, that emotion is conveyed to another person. Now, if the other person doesn't speak your native tongue, let's say, for instance, here it's English, and I've got cousins in Germany, and they don't know English, they only know German, very difficult to convey those expressions, isn't it? Yeah, it's very difficult. So once again, language is the science of putting these sounds and symbols together to convey a message. Well, the same thing can be said about English. Okay, even though here in America we speak what we call American English, which is a little bit different than the English spoken over in the United Kingdom, when you try to convey a message to another person, the words that you put together may appear to you that you're conveying your thoughts, but that doesn't mean the other person actually picked up on exactly what's in your mind. Think about that for a minute. Because why? Words that you use are defined by you, either through daily experience, reading them in a dictionary, whatever, but the words that you choose convey a certain thought or emotion. The other person may not conceive of those words exactly as you mean them. Okay? For instance, if we had a time machine and we went back to the 1800s, and I was to say, that man is gay, well, to somebody in the 1800s, that just meant he's having a good time. He's happy. If you said that 100 years later, it means he's a queer. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying? So just because we're in the same country with a, quote, same native language, that doesn't mean that your thoughts, your emotions, or the concept that you're trying to convey to an audience or to another person is going to be picked up the exact same way. That's why on this program, now that we've hit 22 years on the air, we have attempted to be very, very careful to use words that will convey the proper truths that we're talking about as best as we can. But people, you have to understand, you must come to an agreement on some common language. That's why we don't want to get off on idiosyncrasies and the vernacular or the slang that's used by many different areas. For instance, when I lived in Texas, there were slang that differed from where I grew up in Amish country in Pennsylvania. All right, very different as far as accents, very different as far as word usages, etc. Because you got to remember, the United States is a big place. We have many states in this union that are as big as other countries. Think about that for a minute. So when you travel from the East Coast to the West Coast, you're still in America, the United States, sovereign states. However, you're traveling across enough territory that in Europe and other places of the world, you would actually be going from like Germany to France to Switzerland to Spain. And so you would traverse countries where there's whole different languages spoken. So again, be careful of your words. Just because you speak it and it makes sense to you does not mean that the other person picked up on your thought or what's in your mind, okay? That's why there's got to be a dialogue. You have to get feedback from who you're talking to make sure they picked up the right message. That's critical today because we are in a total war. We really are. It is a total war. The enemy has come out and they put all their chips on the table. The enemy is all in. It's the end of the age. We don't have to wait anymore. No more sitting around philosophizing, pontificating, laying the scriptures out. Here's what we see. No, you're in it right now. Right now. If you don't see this is the end of the age and the all-out push for total world domination and the destruction of Yahweh's people, you're just not paying attention, folks. I'm sorry. You really aren't. So, again, give it careful consideration because it's critical at this point in time to be as explicit and clear in your communications to your loved ones and to your neighbors, more critical now than ever before. Our verse for today is Proverbs 22, verse 4. The result of humility and the fear or reverence of Yahweh is wealth, honor, and life. You see, they want us to stay in the New Testament all the time because it's a doom and gloom thing. Well, you know, Dan, our job is to be martyrs, and our job is to lay our neck on the block and just give up our heads because that's what the book says. Well, I got news for you. They ain't getting my head, and they're not going to get it easily because I plan on fighting them tooth and nail. None of us knows what the playbook of our Heavenly Father has for each of us individually. He hasn't revealed it to me, and he hasn't revealed it to anybody I know. However, you are in control of your own body and soul. You can determine to fight evil with everything that's in your body. Every ounce of your soul thrown into this battle against evil. That's a personal choice. If you live in a state of fear, then your choice will probably be to acquiesce or give in to the New World Order. If you live in a sphere of faith in the Almighty and in yourself, you will say, I don't care what the cost is. I will give up my life for the right reasons, for the right people. I will lay down my life for truth and honesty and justice. I will lay down my life to protect the people I love. I will lay down my life to protect my liberty and my freedom, my choice as to what I do with my body, my ability to have weapons for self-defense. That's the primary use of weapons, not for aggression. That's what the enemy wants you to think. We all know weapons are primarily for defense. I've grown up with weapons my entire life. I grew up on a farm where every farmhouse in our county had a weapon in it. Every farmhouse had weapons. My dad had weapons. I helped my brother and sister get over the mumps when they were little. And I spent a whole week with my mom, tending to them, putting cool compresses on their head, etc., feeding them, trying to make them comfortable. And my reward was my father picked up a used Marlin 22 long rifle, bolt action, with a 10-round clip. And that was my gift for being such a help to my mother. And I was only about 9 or 10 years old. My dad kept it not locked up. He kept it in a utility room closet. And his instructions were to me that you don't touch that without me being present. And you know what? I never, not one single time, did I even think about touching that rifle without my father being there. I didn't even consider it. I had that much respect and fear. Whereas our verse in Proverbs says here, humility and fear of Yahweh, I feared and revered my father when I was a boy, much the same as an adult, I fear and reverence the Almighty, which is our Father above. So when my father said, don't touch it, that's all it took. My children were raised in a home where I kept weapons locked in a cabinet with a glass door on it so they could see they were in there, but they never attempted to open those cabinets ever. And I used to watch them sometimes from some place where they couldn't see me, when they were playing in the rooms where these weapons were kept. And I would watch and just monitor them to see. And I do remember one time one of the boys started like looking kind of curiously to see if there was a way to open that door. And at that time, my daughter was the oldest child, and she looked and said, you know what Dad said, get away from that cabinet. And he did. And he did. And they never once got into those weapons. Never once did I ever catch anything in my workshop or in my armory out of place. If you teach children respect and they honor you for being respectful, that's all the further it has to go. But you see, the enemy has convinced everybody just the mere presence of weapons is a problem. Everything today is a lie. You do know that, I hope. Everything is a bold-faced lie. I told you in the last broadcast that I have a family member who's a senior nurse in a hospital group that has three campuses in a major county in a New England state, and the local news is telling everybody it's a hot spot for this mysterious intelligent virus called COVID, which is a complete joke. So this county's being reported as a hot spot, but the people at the hospital see the reports every single day, and it's not. It's a lie. So there are medical people starting to speak out, and that's one of the things I wanted to share with you. This is a personal tidbit here. And again, why I'm saying we're at total war. I was contacted by a friend of mine he was in Georgia at the time this happened. He lives in South Carolina, right on the border. And he was having a drink at a bar, a tiki hut bar. And a young lady came up and sat next to him, and they got engaged in conversation, and he found out she's a traveling nurse and that she currently was working at a VA hospital. And so the topic, of course, eventually came around to this this fake, phony, false flag pandemic came up. And I'm going to read to you what he wrote to me. Per the conversation I had with a traveling nurse that was currently working in Georgia at a VA hospital, here is a recollection of our conversation. I asked her if she had received the shot, the jab, and she said no, and she will never receive that poison. Now, these are her words. It's a poison. She said she had five patients recently that received the jab, and four of them came down with cardiac issues almost immediately. She has watched people with bilateral seizures after the jab, massive vaginal bleeding, out-and-out death, blood clots. And when I asked her if the jab aids in sterilization of young people, she responded, most definitely. She has also seen heart valves completely collapse following an individual getting the jab. And she told me in no uncertain terms, never put that poison in your body. I believe she used the term never get that shot, but the point is don't ever put that poison, that experimental serum, into your body. That was her admonition to him face to face. She agreed with the doctor that recently was at an Indiana town hall meeting, and she said that she is using vitamin D, zinc, and ivermectin, and that it is absolutely correct protocol to use. She said that the words that the doctor spoke at that town hall meeting were completely accurate. She stated that she is around COVID patients all the time, and she's not sick because her immune system is more than adequate to fight off any illness. You can find that Indiana doctor destroys the CDC COVID narrative at school board meeting. If you type in your search engine, you can find that that short speech that he gave to the school board. And if you have trouble finding it on YouTube, you can go to Daily Expose, that's all together, dailyexpose.co.uk, and they have it there. It's also a friend of mine this morning sent me that there is a Canadian nurse who is speaking out as well right now, and that's on YouTube. And just search for nurse talking on Liberty with a T-I at the end, Liberty, and telling it like it is in British Columbia. So again, brave souls are stepping up to the plate, and this is a war. All right, we are being invaded by enemy soldiers. People call them immigrants, undocumented border crossers. You can call them whatever the hell you want. It's an invading army, folks. That's the reason for them. Get that bullshit out of your head that it's humanitarian or feel sorry for the people living in squalor, blah, blah, blah. The communists will always try to dress their maneuvers to subdue your nation in sweet-sounding words. Look at the Bolshevik Jewish Revolution in Russia. They told the workers they were being oppressed by the Tsar and that the Tsar was a mass murderer. Do you know what mass murder means, folks? Did you ever look into it, into what was really happening in Russia? Now, the Jews lie about everything. So they were telling the Russian people the Tsar was a mass murderer, and he particularly of Jews. Do you know many Jews that the Tsar had executed in Russia? 19. 19 Jews executed for treason, for spying and treason. And those 19 Jews were executed over a period of 10 years. So that averages out to 2 executions a year of Jews that were caught being spies and committing treason by the Tsar. And yet the Jews told the Russian people the Tsar was anti-Semitic and how the poor Jews are the victims of this white Christian Tsar in Russia. Okay, that's how they twist. They lie and twist everything. I mean everything. As William Casey, also a Zionist Talmudic Jew, when he headed the CIA, when he said in the 1980s, we will know our disinformation program is successful when everything the American people believe is a lie. How nice of Mr. Casey, the Talmudic communist piece of shit Jew, to be so honest, to tell us that we are in a massive misinformation campaign so that everything that you and I think to be true in this world is a lie. That's what the Jews do. When their lips are moving, they're lying. Now, again, you don't have to take my word for it. You can do your own digging. You can do your own fact-checking, whatever term you want to use for it. We are presenting what we know to be true, what has been reported to us by personal contacts, such as my friend in the Navy, or, well, he's retired now, but I've known this individual for almost 3 decades, 30 years. So do I trust what he's telling me? Yeah, he would not lie to me. Do I trust that the nurse was telling the truth? Why would she lie? She's just sitting there having a drink and in conversation with my friend. So why would she lie? What would she gain? And it fits with other relatives and other friends and what they're reporting to me. The best thing of all was when I sent this note out to many of my friends as a warning. I had a former boss contact me and go, "Oh, my wife and I, we got the Pfizer jab and we're doing okay." Yeah, so your point is what, asshole? You got a placebo maybe? You do know they put some placebos out there just to create this illusion that there are, quote, safe vaccines. There is no such thing. And that, again, I'm repeating many doctors, nurses, researchers, authors, virologists, immunologists, etc. That's not just my opinion. These are competent people who have said and given sworn testimony to the fact there is no such thing as a completely safe vaccine. And they do lead to things like Alzheimer's because of the adjuvants in them and autism and everything else. It is not a coincidence that all of these strange mental illnesses and problems have come along at the same time that we started vaccinating. But vaccination is a very profitable business. I was in discussion with my brother recently, and he pointed out that the pharmaceuticals are losing money with pills. And part of the reason for this whole shit show about a, quote, virus is because the pharmaceuticals, all of them are owned by kikes. The pharmaceuticals are losing money in the manufacturing of pills, I believe, because people are finally waking up to the dangers of drugs. So where are they putting their money now? In the vaccines. So if you own stock in vaccines and you're looking to make a fortune, what better way than to create a problem that requires your product? Who do you think pressed our legislators back in the 1980s to force legislation that you and I must have auto insurance? Now, you might think that's no big deal, but I remember when that happened and we were pissed off. What do you mean I have to buy auto insurance? You see, the law used to say that you are financially responsible, which is common sense and God's law. When I'm traveling down the road in my car, it is my job to be responsible. And if I hurt somebody with my car, my motorcycle, my tractor, my lawnmower, or my body, I'm responsible for the damages. That's common sense. But they changed the law. You're no longer financially responsible. They took that away because the insurance companies, again, owned primarily by Jews, went to the legislatures and said, we want a law saying, well, we're not going to trust you to be able to cover your liabilities, so we're going to force everybody to have insurance. Oh, and just coincidentally, we Jews own most of the insurance companies. So what did they do? Well, sure enough, our pieces of shit traitors in Congresses across the states went along with these assholes, and they created the laws, and like good little sheep, we started buying insurance. And as they always do, the first 2 years of this law, car insurance was relatively cheap. They always started that this nonsense that way, just like Social Security when it came out, very, very non-intrusive. However, after the initial 2 years, when everybody bought into the idea of car insurance, what happened? The rates started skyrocketing. And now, when the poor sheep started squealing, well, wait a minute, this is getting to be expensive. Oh, but you've already bought into it, poor sheep. Bah, you bought into this bullshit, so now you're trapped. They do that with everything. Think about when the government got into healthcare. Does the government have any right to be in our healthcare? Absolutely not. But when Obama was being pushed around and pushed for his Obamacare, do you see how they changed the narrative? When they first started talking about it, a few people got it right when they stood up and said, wait a minute, it doesn't matter about Obamacare. It doesn't matter about any of your programs, your suggestions, because government has no right in my healthcare decisions. None. But they changed it by coming up with this completely ludicrous Obamacare. So that now we argued against Obamacare and we forgot that they didn't have a right to begin with, no matter what program you were talking about. So they got you feeling like something good was done when Obamacare was being pushed back against. Do you see how they win? They get you thinking about, I don't want this bad program, when you should be saying, wait a minute, you assholes don't have a right to be in that whole program, just like education. When did we turn around and give them any kind of authorization to be in our education process? None. When did they get the right to tell us how to raise our children? None. Except by your acquiescence, by your becoming sheep. Bah! Tell me, dear God, government, you're my new God. Please, I worship you. I am bowing down to you, Mr. and Mrs. Government. Please, tell me how to live my life, because I'm too damn stupid. I don't know how to choose the right school system. I don't know how to choose what to do to take care of my health. I'm stupid and weak and poor. Please, my dear new God, government, oh, would you please tell me how to live my life? That's what you've become. Oh, my God demands that I give obedience. Oh, since I'm pushing back now because I realize this is a false God, now my new God says, oh, so you're all of a sudden not wanting me to be your God. That's going to cost you. Because now I'm going to start labeling you as vaccine hesitant. I'm going to start labeling you as a liability or a domestic terrorist. So everybody will not think strangely about me sending my goons to destroy you and your family. See how communists do it? And we play along like stupid little cowardly, ignorant, lazy sheep. All because what? Our enemy says, I'm going to bring pain. Well, ladies and gentlemen, war always brings pain. Okay? You're in a war. There will be pain and there will be casualties. Okay? Get that through your head. It's much like the Jew has changed the narrative about life, that the whole goal of life is to live as long as you can live and get as many toys as you can get. Money and toys. They have got you believing this bullshit. How's that working out for you? Your whole reason for being is to, one, live as long as you can, because after all, when you die, there's nothing. That's what the Jew wants you to think. And your measure of success in this Jewish hell that they have created is measured in monetary gain and material possessions, which, by the way, they control. You say, well, Dan, how do they control that? Well, they have major controlling interest in the pharmaceuticals and the medical schools, and therefore in the hospitals and the doctor's office. That has to do with your longevity and your health. And on the other end, they control the central banking system 100%. So they control both of the avenues that you now have accepted as the markers of a successful life. What does the Bible teach? What does the Holy Spirit of the Most High teach? Just the opposite. Material goods are just that. Material goods, there is no U-Haul van heaven-bound when you die. You're not taking a damn thing with you, folks. The Bible and the Holy Spirit says material things are not the measure of a man, and the goal of your life here is not to live a long time and to acquiesce and do everything that your little G God government and all these other robed assholes with all the letters after their name, and you think they're so damn smart when they're actually stupid. All they are is actors. Fauci is an actor. He is not a legitimate doctor. He is not even a scientist. He is not an expert in anything except shoveling bullshit. That he is an expert at. Just like Burks and the rest of these automatons, they march in front of the beast camera and put them out to you as if they're some sort of expert and that they really care about you and little Johnny and Susie, when all they are is mouthing the narrative that's given to them by their masters, the Jews at the top, and these little pieces of shit march out there and you suck it up and you gobble it up when all it is a bunch of bullshit. You have turned off the brain God gave you. You've turned off the power of positive thinking. You've turned off your courage and faith, and you've become meek and mild little sheep, whimpering as you're being led off to the slaughter by the very people that you have been trained to trust, your local preachers, your local school administrators, your local news broadcasters, your local government officials. You're told to trust these people. And we find out we live in a cacistocracy that is run by pure psychopaths. That's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. That is the reality. Now, we're going to talk about Catherine Austin Fitz here in a minute. And she did a absolutely stellar job in an interview with Del Bigtree. Now, Del Bigtree used to be big in Hollywood, and he's actually got a conscience now, and he runs one of the bigger, I know he's on BitChute, and I believe he's even on YouTube, but he has a program called The High Wire, and he has a website, thehighwire.com. But Del Bigtree and Catherine Austin Fitz did an interview, and I believe the title of it is called A Sea of Lies. And again, that I know for a fact that BitChute has it. It may be on Rumble and Odyssey and Library and YouTube. It might be on those platforms as well. But this was one of the best interviews I ever listened to because it's not very long, but Catherine Austin Fitz. And let me give you her biography here real quick so you understand that I admire Catherine Austin Fitz a lot. I don't agree with her on 100%, but then again, I don't agree with anybody 100%. But she is pretty much on the mark most of the time, if not all the time. And it might be me that's the problem. But anyway, she is the former Assistant Secretary of Housing Commissioner at the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, otherwise known as HUD, H-U-D, HUD. She's also the former Managing Director and member of the Board of Directors of Dillon Reed and Company Incorporated, and she is the President of Solari Incorporated. Solari is S-O-L-A-R-I, Solari. And you can go over there on her website and read her Solari reports. I believe she has one that is open to the public because she does extremely good analysis. So in this interview, she unravels what the real COVID-19 agenda is. And again, she reiterates it is not about health and a so-called virus. Now, we're not even going to get into do viruses actually exist. Even by their own literature, if the sheep out there would take the time to read a little bit of literature, you'd find out, first of all, viruses are not alive. Okay? I remember that back when I was in high school. They even taught it. A, quote, virus is not even alive. It's a particle. It's a piece of material. It's not even alive. So even by their own literature, we're talking about something that's very controversial about whether it even exists or not. Okay, this gets back to the germ theory versus the terrain theory by Dr. Bacon, who was a French doctor back in the 19th century, who said that Louis Pasteur and all the things being pushed by the mainstream is full of shit. You live in an ocean of germs, ladies and gentlemen. You live in a ocean of germs. You cannot do anything about that. You can put all the lotion on you want. You can close up your windows and stay indoors all the time. It doesn't matter. You swim in an ocean of germs. As Dr. Bacon said, it's the terrain. And that's why it's called the terrain theory versus the germ theory, such as in the terrain of the valley was very green and plush, okay? Terrain. the terrain theory is that your body is the terrain that you, your living soul lives within, and that terrain decides whether you will be, quote, sick or healthy, your terrain. It's got nothing to do with viruses, germs, and all the rest of that bullshit. It reminds me of the story that during the bubonic plague, they had thieves that would go through the houses of the dead and steal their china and their gold and silver. And they were completely healthy. And in France, the king found out about it, and he had a couple of the thieves captured. And under the threat of execution, he wanted to know, what are you doing that you're not getting sick? You're walking amongst these dead bodies. You're breaking into their homes. You're stealing their valuables. Why aren't you getting sick? And the thief said, because we put these essential oils into a handkerchief so that we breathe these essential oils. There's five of them, I think. And that combination became known as thieves' oil. You can still buy it today. I've bought it many times when I had a lot of my coworkers having the influenza that you call COVID now. We called it back then the flu. When a lot of my coworkers were down with the flu, but they still came to work instead of staying home like they're supposed to. They came to work. I would put thieves oil and rub it on my upper lip so that I was breathing that thieves oil while I was working. And then I did not get sick. I probably wouldn't have gotten sick anyway because I've for decades been very, very conscious about my own body's defense mechanisms. Some people call it immunity, but I just call it the body's defense mechanisms that our loving Father gave us that is a perfect defense. Why is it perfect? Because it can take care of any variants of any germ or anything out there. My body can recognize and defend me against anything out there. But you see, that doesn't make Jewish pharmaceutical companies billions of dollars, does it? Just like the modern allopathic medicine programs don't want you to know about the naturopathic way because there's no money in it. Because the naturopaths, first of all, they want you to change your diet and your habits. That's the best remedy. And then maybe supplement with some herbs for a short time. But again, there's no billions of dollars to be made in that program, so they have to come up with the germ theory and get you to buy it. So you'll run down to buy their pharmaceuticals, their drugs used in sorcery and black magic. That's what the Greek word pharmakia means, which is where you get the word pharmacy. Okay? It's right in front of your faces, folks. When you walk into the pharmacy, what are those big red as in communism, big red block letters above the door say? Pharmacy. Because they know you're too damn lazy and stupid to ever look it up in a book and find out it comes from Greek pharmakia, drugs used in sorcery and black magic. You see, they laugh all the way to the bank. These people are dumber than rocks. Oh, by the way, a lot of the things we say in this program somehow are getting out into the ethers, and praise Yahweh for that. I just saw an article that was talking about a hill worth dying on. That is a hill I will die on. That's an idiomatic expression. Meaning, from you guys in the military, you know what I'm talking about. When a commander says, we need to take that hill to win this war, then that becomes a hill worth dying on, meaning to the soldiers, no matter what it costs us in human casualties, we're going to take that hill. So now it has become an expression that it is an ideology or a topic that you will defend to the death. For instance, my right to own weapons is a hill I will die on, meaning if you try to disarm me, I will fight you to the death. If you try to stick a poison in my body, I will fight you to the death. That is a hill I will die on. If you try to harm my family or my loved ones, I will kill you or die trying. It's as simple as that, ladies and gentlemen. If you communists think you're going to take over these United Sovereign States without a fight, then that's a hill I will die on gladly. I will fight you if I'm the only one in the street with a weapon. I will kill every one of you that I can before you kill me. The fact that you will kill me is a foregone conclusion. I understand that. But you know what? I'm going to die one day anyway. I would rather stand before my Creator and my relatives on the other side of the wall and know that I went down fighting for truth and justice and the protection of my loved ones. I would rather see them in that regard than as a coward who hid under the table and allowed these communist pigs to take over my country and enslave mankind and put them under all manner of hideous and demonic activities, such as we're reading about with the adrenochrome and the organ harvesting and the sex slave trade and the human traffic and all of these demonic, sick perversions that are going on every day in this world, even though the average bumpkin out there doesn't have a clue. These things go on because the righteous haven't done a damn thing about it. That's because we've decided to go the Jewish way and worship life and worship material goods as the markers of a good life. Again, I'll ask, how's that working out for you? How many of you actually feel good about your life and what you've done with it? How many of you actually feel that you've made an impact on this sick, demented, corrupted world we live in? Do you feel good about it? Oh, if you do, then maybe you're okay. I know a lot of people, I talk to people every day, that are not so happy because we have allowed this sick, demented world to become what it is, chasing after illusionary things that the Jew has created through the media and Hollywood and magazines. And when I say Jews did it, because it is Jews. They have the money. They took control of money and the media in this country almost from the beginning, just as they did in Europe and many other places. Why do you think Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, told you to beware of these Jews? Because they do the work of their father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and so are they. Oh, Dan. Oh, you're mistaken, Dan. Jesus was a Jew. Probably the biggest lie that's ever been told on this earth. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, was not a Jew. Never. Haven't you ever asked yourself why in all of Scripture the Messiah never said a good thing about Jews if he was one of them? He had nothing to do with them. Not only that, as he said, if you were of the Father, you would love me. The Jews hated him to the point where they hounded him and eventually murdered him. And they were so they were so happy to murder him that they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Well, hey, Jews, I got news for you. The day of reckoning is at hand because, yes, you do have Messiah's blood all over you. And you have the blood of martyrs that goes back over 1,000 years. You are the murderers of the Messiah and the Messiah's people. You have always been that. Just as you murdered the white Russian Christian men, women, and children 100 years ago. And being that you are the sorcerers that you are, you used your media to convince us to go to war against our cousins, the Italians, the Germans, and even remote cousins, the Japanese, you convinced us to murder them and to destroy them when they were anti-communists. You want to talk about a feat? They convinced Europe, Canada, Australia, and the United States, the white Anglo-Saxon Israelites, to murder their cousins when their cousins were trying to stop the communists from taking over the world. Think about that sometime, folks. Yeah, I've got relatives that fought in that war. I've got relatives that are buried in France that died in World War I and World War II. Much to my chagrin, by the way, I'm embarrassed that my family supported world communism, because in the end, that's exactly what we did. General Douglas MacArthur found out, probably too late in his life, but he realized what was going on. General George S. Patton figured it out, and the Jews had him murdered in a hospital in France so that he could not come back to the United States and tell us what he had discovered. I interviewed a Royal Canadian Air Force bombardier, member of a bomber crew from Canada, Ottawa. Excuse me, Ontario. He lives in Ontario. His first name is Ian. I interviewed him many years ago, and he told me about being in World War II, and he told me the exact same thing that General George S. Patton said. We fought the wrong enemy. He realized, because he was stationed in Germany at the end of the war, he realized the same thing that General Patton did, that the German people are some of the best and the brightest and the kindest people walking on earth, and that the media had lied 100%, and that we turned loose a monster called Jewish Bolshevik communism on the world. We destroyed people that were dedicated to stopping the communists. We destroyed them. Too late. Found out too late. Yes, communism would have died in World War II had it not been for the Western armies and Western banks and the Western people sacrificing their lives and their money to build it up. We created the monster that's around us today because we allowed the Jews through the media to override our common sense, to override our duty as God's creation to investigate everything. You're not supposed to accept anything on face value, folks, and that includes me. You don't accept on face value anything I tell you, ever, because I'll be damned if on Judgment Day you're going to point a finger at me and say, oh, I did that because Dan told me to do it. No, you're not, because from day one I've told you, you don't accept anything I tell you. You check it out for yourself. I'm just telling you what I have discovered. I'm just relaying to you things that have been presented to me by other brothers and sisters. That's what I'm doing here. And I'm giving a platform to many of my brothers and sisters to come on here and tell their stories that they can't get on regular media to tell. Okay, thank you. I'm just reading here. Our nurse, Ella, has told me that vitamin C, zinc, and ivermectin are for the flu, and there is no such thing as COVID. Well, to me, they're synonymous, okay? Coronavirus is what we used to call and still call in medical journals the flu, okay? The flu and what they call coronavirus are synonymous terms, meaning they're exactly the same thing, just called by a different name. That's all. That's all. So when I say vitamin C, zinc, and ivermectin is good for, let's just call it the illnesses going around, you call it whatever you want. It's just an illness. And these things are good for you. They're natural and they're good for you. And she says here, it's an oxymoron to use the words truth, justice, and the American way anymore. Oxymoron means it's things that do not belong together. Just like naval intelligence, that's a joke, okay? Naval intelligence, they don't go together. That's an oxymoron. So anyway, we're going to get into the interview, but I think we have a caller here. So let's take the call, and then I'm going to go into the interview that Catherine Austin Fitz gave. And it's an excellent interview. If you don't watch any videos, you need to listen to what she had to say. Okay. Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, so there are 3 points that I wanted to make really quick. Number one, you said Christ never complimented the Jews on anything that's not strictly accurate. I mean, he did compliment them one time in Luke 16:8 in the parable of the unrighteous steward, but it's more of a condemnation of our own people than anything else, right? He said they're more wise towards their own race than we are. Right, they stick together. They're not traitors. Number two, we went down the list at the beginning of the show of the reasons to die, or, you know, things that are worse than death. And no one still, I don't think, to this point wants to talk about the math, or, you know, the fact that this is obviously and evidently the mark of the beast. But I would like to tack on to the end of that list that, you know, anybody who takes this, the smoke of their torment, is going to rise forever. And that seems like the worst possible side effect that I can imagine. And number three is, I mean, is we're pretty late in the game here. And, you know, people need to get a sense of urgency, or some sense of urgency. I've spent every minute of every day fighting, right, trying to get the people around me organized, trying to do something. For the most part, right, that's been a miserable failure. But, right, this is not going away, and it's only going to ramp up and ramp up and ramp up and ramp up, and eventually it's going to get hot, really hot. And someday, you know, it's probably going to be knocking on your door with boots, right? So everybody had better find their Alamo, whatever that is.
Correct.
In the history, in modern history, right, there's one country, right, and in the last century that successfully fought a revolution and won. Just one, right? Who is it?
Okay. What is it?
Ireland.
Okay.
Ireland, 1921, the last 100 years, you know, no country in the Western world has fought a revolution and won, right? So if you want a model, right, for how to go forward, that's where I would look. That's where I would look. And I can't even say specifically, like, what kind of tactics, right, you know, on the radio, right, because it's a federal crime. But, you know, if you're interested in putting up some form of resistance to whoever's out there listening to this right now, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you can do what you're going to do. The only thing I care about is being accountable to Yahweh on Judgment Day, because this is the mark of the beast, and what you do with the remainder of time here in the apocalypse is going to echo forever. Forever, right? So that's where I would look. I would look to the tactics that they use, because that's the only thing that can possibly work.
Okay.
And I think you know what I'm talking about. But.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we also have to remember that Ezekiel and Obadiah told us there would become a day when our people would become a flame and a fire. And that's what's going to happen in the very near future. So it's divinely inspired and will be led and guided by divine guidance. Because in the area of men, like you've said, men are not doing enough, and they're not serious enough. And as he said, my return would be such that no flesh would be saved if I didn't come back when I did. And so that's playing out exactly as he said. And you're right. This is the mark of the beast. It is, if you want to consider a mark, an indicator, which is what a mark is. It gives an indication. The use of these face diapers and the injection of this experimental serum mark you as acquiescing to the beast.
Or taking a test.
Well, the test is part of it. That's right. Yeah, right. Close relative works in a major medical facility, and a senior management individual came by and talked to her just a couple months ago and said exactly the same thing as the traveling nurse told my friend from the Navy last night, that you do not, under any circumstances, put this shit in your body and do not get tested.
Right. Well, and maybe that's why if you just project this down the road and just plot where all of the avenues go and all the trails go, right, they all lead to the same dead end, right? I mean, at the end of this little scenario, you know, there's only going to be two types of people if people, you know, continue going down the path they've gone down, right? There's going to be people who have been killed because they took the needle and people who have been killed because they didn't. Right, so maybe that's why Christ said, you know, no flesh would be spared if I didn't come back.
Right, but my point is that the enemy wants to think that those of us who resist it have nothing but a martyrdom ahead of us, and I don't believe that's true. I think that's propaganda bullshit.
I don't either. I mean, you're going to die either way, so why wouldn't you fight back? That's ridiculous.
Right, of course. They want us to sit back and just allow them to take over, whereas the Spirit says that you resist evil, you fight evil. That's our job, not sitting back.
Yeah, well, I've been doing everything I can to fight back, for what that's worth. I mean, outside of you, I don't see too many other people that are making an effort to do anything, really. But, you know, I don't really know a lot of people, so...
Well, trust me, there are quite a few people doing things. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't see it. For whatever reason, I don't know, but a lot of people are shielded from that. Many of the calls I get are very similar to that, where people fear that there's absolutely nothing going on. But below the radar screen, there is a lot going on. Again, the majority. But then again, the scriptures tell us it was never going to be the majority. And in fact, if you think about it, there's a lot of people walking these streets every day. I don't want to see them in the kingdom. Do you?
No, definitely not.
Exactly. So if Yahweh decides to take out 2/3 of mankind because they're unfit, who am I to argue? You're not going to stop it. I'm not going to stop it. All I want to do is stop it from the people that are doing it right and belong to the family of our Father in heaven and protect those people. Those people represent the hill I would die on. I would not die on a hill for these average diaper-wearing automatons out here that are running down and putting this shit in their arm. I wouldn't fight and die for them.
Yeah, not a chance. You know, as you're saying that, I'm watching my wicked little neighbor drive across our other neighbor's yard on golf cart for the 300th time.
Well,
what a clown. He's wearing his mask, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, ultimately it doesn't matter, right? I mean, if you understand that this is the mark of the beast and you'd rather die than take it, right, then you've already won the game, right? Whatever else happens is ultimately of no consequence, you know, unless you're concerned for somebody around you.
Right. Well, that's why every, whether you want to call it a revolution, but basically this is a war and a stand that you take. Every stand against tyranny starts with the individual looking in the mirror. It starts with each one of us saying, I will not give my consent and I will not yield, period, no matter what it costs me. When enough people start doing that, then that can become a vast and mighty army, exactly as Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38 talks about. That at some point, our people will become real, living, breathing men and women again, instead of these little sheep, these automatons running around, and they will put the breath of God within them, and they will grow a backbone, and they will rise up and become a vast and mighty army. That's right around the corner. It's not here yet, but it's also only around the corner. You can see it coming. You can feel it. That's why we can't get into depression, and we cannot allow the spirit of fear to overcome us, because that's what the enemy wants. We have to stay focused on the vision of our team winning.
Oh, yeah, I know we're going to win in the long run for sure, and I'm definitely not afraid.
Well,
I told you when this whole thing started, I would die before I ever took a test or put a mask on, let alone take a needle. It's not going to
fucking
happen.
Right.
Sorry for swearing, but it's not going to happen.
Right. No, it's okay.
But anyway, like, that's all I was going to say was those 3 points. You know, first one, we need to stick together. And number two, you know, this is the mark of the beast. I don't think enough people are calling it for what it is. And, you know, ultimately the side effects of whatever, you know, health consequences you have of taking this thing are immaterial compared to where you're going to spend eternity if you do. And then, you know,
right.
The third one, that there's a set of tactics out there that you can pick up and use, and they're right on the shelf.
Absolutely.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Very
all
good. Anything else, Chris? Yeah.
No. Nope,
okay.
All I got.
Oh, y'all bless. Keep up the good work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our brother Chris in Virginia. And I think we have another caller here as soon as I can get my software to work here. And we've got what says Kurt. Is this Kurt or Lane?
Curtis.
Oh, hi, Curtis.
You doing? Just wanted to say I like the message, and I've been edified by you saying that we all need to stick together and use the same language. If we're a total war, these guys hate us, and if we start playing word games with each other, it's not the time. And you
right.
Nailed it right there. I'm inspired. I like that message. Really, I can use that. I just want to say, good going.
Well, thank you, Kurt. Anything else, buddy?
No more.
Okay. Yahweh bless. Thanks for calling in. All right. That's good old Curtis out there in Texas. I used to live in Texas. It's a good state. And Yahweh sent me all over the United States in my years as a contractor building power plants. And I believe it was by design, because I got to meet lots and lots of people and see lots and lots of patriots and see what some of our brethren are doing, even back in the 1990s and early 2000s, believe it or not. I was honored to visit some of the good old folks in the hill countries of places like the Carolinas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana. And even clear back then, they were making preparations for this war. So again, not all of our brothers and sisters are at the same point in our travels down that road of scriptural knowledge, okay? Don't think for a minute just because a brother or sister is not versed in scripture completely that they're still not guided by the Spirit of our Father. These were good old folks. I mean, they did not get on social media. They didn't make phone calls. They didn't go to public gatherings. They just simply grew their food, stayed together at local communities, dug their fortifications, and stashed their food and weapons and booby-trapped their land. And this was done over 2 decades ago. Okay, so Yahweh's been moving people to do things for quite some time, and I think that's why the enemy is a bit concerned, because in spite of the propaganda, I believe at the core level they know many of our people have been trained by the best militaries in the world. Some of them learned it on their own, but they have been making preparations in different, very strategic locations around the world, and they knew what was coming. And they're not very public about it, and so the enemy doesn't really know. That's why they want an army of vaccinated, diaper-wearing automatons to think of you and I as their enemy, so that this army of sheep will ferret us out and try to destroy us. I've got some news for them. The father is laughing his ass off at their shenanigans because it isn't going to work. And part of the reason it isn't going to work is because the poor sheep that have acquiesced to this beast are already starting to wake up and realize that they have been lied to and used, as communists always do, and now they are looking for remedy. And if they do not find physical remedy in natural health and things like that, at least they have the remedy that when they pass over, they will not face the judgment that is deserving of those who worship the beast. Now, not everybody in that camp is repenting, but there are some souls that have contacted me that have truly, truly repented of what they've done. They did not realize what they were doing. And that is in Yahweh's venue as to whether he will actually give them forgiveness or not. Okay, that's not for you and I to make that judgment. We weren't given that power. As Christ told the disciples, you do not see what is inside a man. I do. The Father does. You and I do not. That's why we are stuck with the only thing that Messiah told us to use when we deal with other people, and that is judge them by their fruits, which is a biblical way of saying judge them by what? Their personalities, their speech, the way they carry themselves. Do they have the heart of Christ when they deal with people? Or do they sound like a tyrant? Do they sound like an overlord? Do they sound somebody that's belligerent? Okay? Those are not the attributes of the living God. Firmness, yeah, that's fine. Confidence, that's fine. Being a leader and a director is fine, but not a tyrant. Not an overlord. Those are not his attributes. So once again, you can't see what's on the inside, but he did give you a clue when he said, a good tree bears good fruit. And what are the good fruits of a good tree? Generally speaking, they will exude confidence in others. They will earn respect. You know, a lot of people don't realize how important that is in this day and age. Do the people around you respect you? Because giving you respect is a form of honor, meaning that they trust your judgment, your intelligence, your desires, your agenda. If you do not have their respect, how do you expect them to follow you into battle? I like what the Emperor Trajan told his Roman legion soldiers many hundreds of years ago in the Roman the days of ancient Rome. But the Emperor Trajan looked at his legion soldiers and said, take this sword and use it against my enemies if, and here's the punchline, if I issue righteous commands. But if I issue unrighteous commands, then use that sword against me. That is a true leader. That is a true commander. If you're going to lead men into a field of battle, you better be willing to be at the front of the line and take the first bullets. If you're not willing to do that, then why in the hell should the men follow you into battle? In the ancient times, if you were a commander of legionnaires or centurions or hoplites in the Greek army or any of the other Anglo-Saxon warriors of the day, if you felt there was a battle worth fighting, you stood in front of the men and you gave a speech and you told them what you perceived to be the danger that would require them to lay their life down. if the soldiers agreed with whoever was speaking, they would take their shields and their swords, and they would bang their shields and swords together to make a loud noise, so that the commander would know from the amount of noise being made whether or not he had the hearts of the men to go into battle. And typically, if it was a righteous leader, they would agree, and it would be a loud clashing of swords and shields. And they would march off as Leonidas did to stop the Persians at the Pass of Thermopylae, better known as the Spartans against the Persians, the mighty 300. And by the way, there is a little bit of a misconception of that. There were 300 Spartans, but there were 7,000 hoplites. 7,000 hoplites. And the hoplites were the common farmers, merchants of the day that would pick up, like the militia, they would pick up their weaponry on the way to battle. They were not full-time soldiers like the Spartans. So the Spartans were very much like our Marine Corps. They were professional soldiers. They were generally the first into battle. They took the most casualties. And the Spartans were given command by Leonidas at the Pass of Thermopylae, but there were 7,000 foot soldiers who marched with Leonidas and his 300. So a lot of people, they watch the movie and they go away, or they hear about that Spartan three. How did 300 guys hold off, a couple hundred thousand Persians? Well, first of all, it wasn't just 300. It was 7,300. And they were in a very, very small pass through the mountains. And no matter how big of an army you got, you can only send so many men down a pass. And the Spartans and the hoplites just mowed them down. They just kept coming, and they just kept destroying them. That's how. So again, when you get into something, you dig down the rabbit hole, you find out more that reality makes a lot more sense, whereas Hollywood and storytellers tend to have a way to embellish the story that it's almost nonsensical. But anyway, in the final minutes here, I want to talk a little bit about this interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. Again, you can find it at Dell Bigtree's channel called The High Wire, and it's called A Sea of Lies, exactly what we have been talking about for a very long time. We live in a sea of lies. Now, the Bible calls it a famine for the truth, which is equivalent, saying the equivalent thing, all right? There is not much truth. It's all lies. Now, during this interview, she unveils the real agenda, and she makes it crystal clear that it's not about health and all that. It's certainly not about a virus or any kind of a contagion. It's all about a communist takeover. I gave you the biography. She's a credentialed individual, and she's very smart. And when you listen to her talk, you come away with the feeling that she knows what she's talking about. And some of the, and thanks to Ella here, she put together a little synopsis of that interview for me to just give you the highlights. But basically, the central banks control the government financing systems, and they use bureaucracies to do that. For example, when you buy a house, it involves all the players that are involved, insurance companies, real estate offices, banks, etc. So you're dealing with the whole deep state that has been created through this fake and phony system. The central banks make the money, and the military makes sure the people use it. See, the people in uniform, by the way, yesterday I sent out an article that was a admonition to the men and women in uniform, reminding them of their sacred solemn oath to protect not only the Constitution, but we the people that pay their bills and have allowed them to be in uniform and allowed them to carry weapons, because we paid for them. They are there for our defense, not for the corporations, the governments, etc. That's bullshit. Just like the sheriff, he owes his allegiance to we the people and not to the local bunch of criminals called government, local government. We are coming into a big change in the government and financial model. The currency is in flux everywhere on earth, and the demand is for a reset. Amen. Even the Bible talks about a great reset when Babylon burns and the merchants are weeping and wailing. Not you and me, the merchants. In the interview, she and Dell go into the past year, central banks have been moving money out of government in countries. They are working toward a consolidation via a financial coup. Retirees demand for their retirement money from the government, but it isn't there. Enter the magic virus, which is what this COVID bullshit's about. And it's a cover story for the financial promises that cannot be met. Your government is basically broke, folks. They are generating electronic digits, electronic shekels in computers. That's not real money. That's not real wealth. I read a long time ago, wealth is the people and the natural resources. That is the wealth of a country, not banks and whatever currency banks create. That is not wealth. Wealth is in the people, their talents, their work ethic, and natural resources. That's your wealth. This magic virus is used as a distraction, a cover-up, a financial excuse for the re-engineering of governance and financial systems. It has nothing to do with health. Politics will reestablish quarantines, social distancing, and masks, another total shutdown, or even worse. They will tell us to limit our talking to decrease airborne contagions, which don't exist. This is probably to contain conversations between people. Which is exactly right, because communists don't like people getting together and having discussions, because they know what happened the last time. The German people in the 1920s and the 1930s got together and started figuring out it was the Jews. Okay? That's why the Jews hate the Germans. They figured them out. They put their heads together. They worked together and actually stymied them for a while. The Jews hate Germans. And not only that, but Germans are from the tribe of Judah. And Judah was told that the scepter would not depart from Judah. Meaning rightful, righteous rulership will not depart from that tribe. And so the Jews, being the jealous, paranoid, schizophrenic monsters that they are, take it out on whoever they consider to be competition. Healthcare is the coup to do this re-engineering. They must either increase the age of retirement or decrease life expectancy. That's an important concept, folks. I hope you're listening. Remember what she said here. They, meaning the evil cabal, must either increase the age of retirement in the near future or decrease life expectancy. Which one do you think they picked? Take a look at who all is dying. This will be done by engineering early deaths using the vaccination, which will probably end life through lipid toxicity and or destroying our body's defense system. The federal government since 1998 has refused to have lawfully required audited financial statements. Now, again, listen to what she says. Ever since 1998, so you're talking 23 years, that's almost a quarter century, the federal government has violated the law by not producing audited financial statements. And you wonder where all those trillions of dollars that they, quote, say went missing. They're not missing. They know exactly where it went. They just don't want you to find out about it. She says that there is $21 trillion undocumented by the adjustments of a 2015 audit. Now, this audit was outside of the government, obviously. Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board statement number 56 makes the position that they can keep secret books. Say they always make a rule that says it's okay. For instance, your government made a rule that says you can't sue a vaccine company. Why is that? Because Jews own your Congress. And the Jews don't want to be sued for the poisons they make. And so they gave some plausible reason, something that they could feed the sheep in the media, And basically what it was, they went to the Congress people and saying, look, we're going to lose too much money to what all these people we hurt, so you got to make a law to protect us. And they did. Just like, well, we Jews need to lie to the American people, and we have laws against newspapers and media that lie, and Congress people that give testimony and lie, so you're going to have to change the laws so that we can lie. And they did. Yeah. Right here in America, folks, where we claim to be the shining light on the hill. Yeah, right. We are Babylon. And Babylon is a world system. It's not just here in the United States. I don't believe that for a second. Babylon is a world system because the corruption, the lying, and the demonic behavior that's going on is worldwide. The United States is just like an epicenter of it. Because of the wealth that we had and because of all that money, and that's where the bankers decided to settle in here and use our military as muscle, because that's what they are. Remember, United States Marine Corps General Smedley Butler, in his book, War is a Racket, makes it very clear that our military is used as muscle. They no longer defend the United States against anything because there's really nothing to defend against. So their new mission, men and women in uniforms mission, is to protect the corporations. She also covered the balance of power. The electorate handles tax flow, credits, and the treasury. The private banks control money policy. The private banks now want to handle all the power. So they are dismissing the electorate from their part of the power. Exactly. You're being displaced, disenfranchised, ladies and gentlemen. Their plan is to transfer everything to digital currencies, no more cash spending, as it is not as controllable as digital. Vaccine passports are the main plan or main part of their plan for people control. Digital transactions can be given or taken away at the flick of a switch, which we already know is happening in China and places like that. Disobedience will warrant taking it away. Again, as Chris talked about, it's the mark of the beast. If you can't see that, you're blind as a bat. The vaccine passports will be like a, quote, credit to the company store. Whatever you buy will be monitored. Even more, it will be controlled. If they don't want you going anywhere, they will stop your credit, so you will not be able to buy or to gas up your car if they allow you to even have a car. If you want a pizza pie and they don't want you to buy it, they will stop your credit. Amen. Total control. Central banks will issue their own currency. They will use the CBD system. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is their prototype. They may or they may not allow these to coexist. That's the big question. Any taxes you owe will be withdrawn from your account without your permission. This is taxation without representation. Let me tell you, I can tell you from experience with these people, that's exactly what they will do. Exactly what they will do. It's been happening for quite some time. It's just going to get much worse. She goes into the annual wrap-up was in 2020 with the going direct reset. The central bankers make their move. The plan implemented the destruction of small business and the accompanying economy in a way. At this time, they ruled out that COVID-19 pandemic for concealment, distraction, and excuse for shutting it down. So this whole COVID nonsense is just a cover. Again, a communist insurgency hiding behind a medical emergency so that they could implement medical martial law. This was led by the managers of the major bureaucracies who were responsible for the destruction of small businesses and industries which could be bought up clearly later on. Again, they're driving middle-class Americans out of business and buying up their properties for pennies on the dollar. And they've got a lot of pennies, folks, because they control the banks. They just go down to the computers. Hey, Steve Mnuchin, all you fellow Jews down there at the Federal Reserve, go on your computers there. I need a couple billion over here. Yep, yep, yep. A few strokes of the keyboard. Yeah, now I got a trillion over here. And it's all gone to Jewish bankers so they can buy up the poor, stupid goyims. Businesses, homes, farms, businesses, whatever. It's unbelievable. In actuality, a prison is being built with a control grid. We are feeding the enemy. Now, this is a key point that she made. We are feeding the enemy by keeping our money in the central banks who are using our money to enslave us. Some of these banks are J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, etc. These banks are engineering mortgage fraud. We need to act before the vaccine passports are put into action. They will be our only source of paying for our needs. What is needed is begin this. What is needed to begin this is to successfully have the people of the world vaccinated by choice or by mandate. And again, that's what the New World Order wants. To find a good local bank or credit union, do some research. Solari, which is Catherine Austin Fitz's business and website, Solari is willing to give you needed information of the qualities of a, quote, people bank. Talking to management employees gives good information. Take your time to pick your good local bank or credit union. Ask friends, relatives, or your lawyer for advice. Check with the Chamber of Commerce businesses for bank information. Read the financial statements of the banks you are checking out. So again, are there things we can do? Yeah, stop feeding your goddamn enemy. That's one thing you can do. She also is part of the group that came up with Cash Friday. In other words, every Friday, refuse to use the credit system, the digital, your debit card, your credit card, or whatever, and use cash. Cash. One day a week. Is it that hard? You're in a war. Most wars, you're going to have to load bullets into a rifle, and you're going to be shooting bullets at somebody else, and they're going to be shooting at you. This is just asking you to use cash one day out of the week. If millions and millions of us did that, it would make a huge impact. The problem is our people, lazy, 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 lazy. All you got to do, cash on Friday. The billionaire boom, how the super rich soaked up COVID cash. After this, there will be two classes of people, the elites who are rich and slaves. Every communist system runs the same way. The rich Jewish communists and their useful idiots at the top, which is generally 1% or 2%, and 98% of the people are their serfs or their slaves. Right out of the Talmud, the holy book of the Jews. This is what they envision. All mankind is nothing more than slaves to be used, abused, and killed and raped if a Jew wants to. Again, go read it. It's in the Talmud. The slaves will be controlled by threats of loss of financial means. They can shut off your funds for any reason. Hallelujah. I've been screaming about that for 20 years. Designed, quote, riots are used for real estate acquirement. Yeah, all these Antifa riots, by the way, were in cities where they wanted to drive out the local entrepreneurs, and the real estate values would drop, and in comes the Jews with their bushel baskets full of electronic shekels, and now all of those zones in these cities where Antifa and Black Lives Matter were rioting, they now pick up all those businesses and properties for pennies on the dollar. After the shutdown, business owners cannot get enough employees to work again, as the government payment for staying at home is more profitable. When that business has to close down, they can be bought really cheap due to desperation of the owner. Again, it's all by design. Closing down restaurants is a preference, as this also required control of the food system. The land grab has just begun. Home ownership is discouraged. Those homes are bought cheaply or taken to be used as rentals or for other purposes. Yeah, the Jews are in the process, such as Bill Gates. That's common knowledge. Again, they're using their windfall profits of electronic shekels, and they're running up and they're buying up ranches, farms, and large tracts of land and housing developments so that they can turn around and enforce the fact that you will never be more than a renter. Actually, since property tax was allowed to be implemented, you've been nothing but a renter anyway. I hope you understand that. You never owned anything. If you're paying a tax on it yearly, you're a renter. That's all you are, a renter. You don't own anything. You pay registration on your car, you never own your car. You have to get it licensed, you never own it. You have to get it inspected, you never own it. It's not your property. Wake the hell up, people. Start using cash to avoid feeding the enemy. The Solari Report began a Cash Friday program. Nobody used credit cards on that day, and it doesn't feed the enemy. Community banks and credit unions will get more powerful by increased funds. This way they can help the people. We should start as soon as possible for all of us. Build resiliency in your life. Instead of paying for water, have a well dug on your land. Get any big bank system out of your life. Buy locally from small stores. Use cash. If you have gold and silver, use it. Get a gold and silver calculator. And they do have those available, folks, that you can take gold and silver's current spot price and use and figure out anything that's available at somebody's store or at the farmer's market or whatever. It will convert it into how many ounces of gold and silver it is at the current spot price. And so you can do business that way. Do not take this misnamed vax. Do not give consent. Do not get tested. I can't tell you. A lot of people know the vaccine's bad, but they're still going on along with the idea that they can be tested. Every person I know personally in the medical field has warned me about both the vaccine and the tests. You people don't know what they're putting inside you or doing or whatever with these so-called tests. That's pretty much the wrap-up of that. Again, you can go to The High Wire with Del Bigtree, and it's there. His interview with Catherine Austin Fitz, and you can go to BitChute as well. So it's a lot to digest, I know, and we're about an hour and a half, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up unless we got a caller or something like that. Let me check here. Come on. Okay, good enough. All right. Well, again, as Chris and Curtis talked about, and we've been saying for many, many weeks now, we are in a war, folks. You need to wake the hell up to that. We've been talking about it for 22 years, all right? Get back to basics. Simplify. Minimalize. Don't put your eggs in the wrong baskets. If you're involved in the financial system, like 401ks and stocks and bonds and all that, that's completely controlled. And at any time, if they determine you to be a person, let's say a person of interest, let's say to this Jewish cabal, those assets can be vaporized. Those assets can be taken away immediately without your intervention. It's not like money in a vault in your basement where you can guard it and monitor it and keep an eye on it. Ella sends in a note here saying that do not go in the military. Yeah, I'd be very careful about being in our military at this time. Now, there are good people trapped in the military. The enemy is trying to weed them out right now. They're calling them white supremacists, anti-vaxxers. Yeah, they've always got a negative term for people that are standing up for their rights. I remember back in the 1980s when I was challenging driver's licenses and registrations, the income tax, the local property tax. I challenged all that. Well, one of the first things they always called you besides crazy was they called you a bircher, meaning a member of the John Birch Society, because the John Birch Society put out a lot of information about how this is all unconstitutional. It didn't mean it was wrong. They were right. It is unconstitutional. In fact, your whole money system, according to the Constitution, is to be based on gold and silver, not electronic Jewish shekels in a computerized banking system. So the Constitution still says that to this day. So government is our enemy. And Colonel Roy Potter last night put out about a six-minute rant where he basically called out all governments at all levels, state, federal, and even down to the county level. All governments are the enemy at this point. If they haven't actively stepped down and divulged what's going on and are assisting the people and taking back our sovereignty, if they haven't actually stepped down to do that, then they are part of this system, even down to the local level. Government is your enemy. Now, what are the fake, phony churches telling people? Well, Diane, it's your Christian duty to obey the government. I heard that when I was a boy so many times it made me vomit. It's your duty, Diane. It doesn't matter what they say. You can't fight City Hall, Dan. And besides, Jesus says that we should only be concerned on the spiritual matters, Dan, not the local politics. That's dirty business, and we pure and pious and pompous asses in the pews, we are better than that. We're going to stick with the spiritual side of things, so you just let them dirty, rotten, nasty, lying pieces of shit called politicians, you just let them do whatever they want to do, and you just stick to the spiritual, Dan, because that's what Jesus would say. I got news for you. If you think for one goddamn second that Jesus the Christ, Messiah, would say something as stupid as that, then you're a retard. Okay? Is that crystal clear? If you for one minute think that the Messiah, the Aryan, Anglo-Saxon, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Christ, would have said something as lame and pussified as that, you are a retard. Okay? I don't know how to make it any plainer. He was a warrior. Who do you think went into that temple and beat those goddamn Jews out of there and overturned those money tables? Does that sound like a wuss to you? Or that he was willing to stand in the face of Pontius Pilate, in the face of those damn Jews at the synagogues, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and call them what they were, of their father the devil, liars, murderers, and thieves from the beginning? That took guts. How many people do you know have guts enough to stand up to a Jew and tell him exactly what he is? Knowing that a Jew will do virtually anything to get back at their enemies. Okay? They murdered the Christ, didn't they? Well, as far as we know, they did. And they brag about it. Look at that Sarah Silverman, the Jewish hag that calls herself a comedian. Her comedy is ridiculous. She did a comedy routine not too long ago where she bragged about the fact that, yeah, we killed him the first time, and I hope he comes back again so we can murder him again. Sarah Silverstein, isn't that cute? She's so funny, little Jewess. Aw, you're so funny. Sarah, I would pay to go watch you. Yeah, you're just hilarious. And you denigrate Christians and the Messiah. You're funny. Yeah, I'm going to pay a ticket to go listen to your garbage mouth. Yeah. I know there's white people stupid enough to actually think you're funny and would actually be dumb enough to buy a ticket to listen to your lame, pathetic performance. But you at least were honest enough to brag about the murdering of Messiah and that you would murder him the second time, just like you will murder people called Christians today because you, being a true Talmudic Jew, hate Christians. At least Sarah Silverman is honest. She's at least honest, telling you outright, I hate you. Just like the Jews in Russia put out public proclamations that white Christian men, women, and children were to be raped and murdered in Germany at the end of the war. The war had already ended, ladies and gentlemen. The Germans had already surrendered. And the Bolshevik armies, as they came into Germany, their orders from the Jews back in Moscow were, show no mercy, show no quarter. Rape and murder to your heart's content. Treat them like, oh, wait a minute, what's that? The Talmud calls them what? Oh, animals, that's right. Non-Jews are animals. And so the Jews in Moscow said, treat them just like animals. And they sure as hell did. In fact, the white Russian army, the Caucasians in the Soviet army, were the first ones into Germany, they warned the German women and children to run and hide. That's a fact. So the white men in the Russian army said, please, run and hide as fast as you can. Because they knew what the animals behind them were going to do. That's what we allowed and we turned loose on the world in World War II, thanks to Jew Roosevelt and the Jew Churchill and the Jew Stalin. That's what we turned loose. We allowed those three gigantic pieces of shit to convince us to turn loose on the rest of the world while we bombed and shot, tortured and murdered the Italians, the Germans, and the Japanese that were anti-communist. Yeah, we should hang our head in shame over what we have done. And now the whole world is swimming in these Bolshevik communists, and they're about ready to take over every white nation on earth, starting with the United States. Because once this domino falls, they figure, who's going to stop us? The question is, what will the white Anglo-Saxon warriors do? Acquiesce? Tuck tail and run? Cower before their Bolshevik masters and allow their families to be raped and murdered like the Russians were? Is that what you'll do, boys? Or are you going to finally get off your ass and take a stand and take this fight to the enemy? Because our team hasn't even entered the playing field yet. We're like a football game in high school where the one team is sitting on the bench and the other team's on the field running up and down with the football. The Jews have been running up and down with their fake, phony, Talmudic football, and they're scoring points left and right, and our team is still sitting their ass on the bench. We don't even realize there's a game being played. You don't even realize that you're at war and the enemy's winning because you're sitting there like a dumbass thinking that you can just watch from the sidelines and somehow this war won't affect you. Again, I got news for you. You're not in reality, ladies and gentlemen. Just because you've had a soft, cushy, easy life in the past decades here in our white nations does not mean that's going to continue. Those days are over. They came to an end in March of 2020 with the advent of this fake, totally phony pandemic that doesn't exist, except in the minds of men. And those with weak minds fall for the propaganda and bullshit. So actually, our Father Yahweh has done us a favor with this COVID because it is very easily pointing out the people who are easily persuaded with lies and deception. People who have no faith, no confidence, no intellect, no desire for truth. He is weeding them out from amongst us. He is making it very clear who's who. Who is a stalk of wheat and who is a tare? Tares are weeds, by the way. Go read the parable of the wheat and the tares, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. For you folks that are part of the tares, life's going to get a hell of a lot worse for you here very soon. You think it's bad now? It's going to get a lot worse. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, as despicable and diabolical as Jews are, the world communists, at least they have a modicum of respect for the white man or woman who takes a stand, actually shows a little backbone. I've been in the courtroom with prosecutors and county prosecutor lawyers, even a Jew judge. I've been in the courtroom defending my case, and when I look back at it, it was kind of scary because, after all, they controlled the scenario. But when I stood there and stood my ground and refused to back down, they became almost animalistic. The judge did, anyway. He got so angry, his face showed red and blood in it. He was spitting. He was throwing things around. He couldn't get me out of that courtroom fast enough. But I noticed the other Jews, the prosecutor and some of the lawyers, etc., and other attorneys, they didn't know what to do, especially the prosecutor that came to me and tried to intimidate me. As soon as I said no, he had a look of fear. And not that I'm a fearful man, don't get me wrong. The point I'm trying to make is he did not know what to do with resistance. The Jew has gotten so used to us being little sheep, never pushing back, that they don't really know how to handle a real resistance fighter, a soldier that has some sort of a backbone and ethics. It just befuddles them. They lose their composure. Their mask comes off, and you see them for the demonic creatures that they are. It was kind of interesting. And here's the other thing. When we took that stand and we refused to let the judge railroad us into something that we had agreed before not to do, there were two plainclothes state police in the audience. And these state policemen had a warrant for the lady that I was in the courtroom defending. They came up to our public defender after the judge finally gave up and just said, get him out of my courtroom, because he was not going to get his way. They came up to the public defender and told him, whispering in his ear, we have a warrant for her over some traffic thing. It's not like murder or anything like that. It was just a traffic thing. But they said, we have a warrant for arrest here, but we will not serve it. Tell them to leave the state and never come back. Now, this is my country, where I was told to leave a state within my country because of what these Jews do. But at least these two men in plain clothes would not continue the farce of the attack on us, because as my public defender told me, and he was Jewish too, by the way, as he told me, you two do not belong in this courtroom. He said, you are way above what normally comes through this courtroom. He said, you two enjoy your life and get the hell out of here and just stay away. Take your lady and go and just get out. This is not where you belong. Do you see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? I'm trying to make a point. It was scary. I'm not going to tell you it wasn't scary. But looking back at it, did the Father have our backs? Yes, he did. Now, did I destroy the Jewish-controlled court system in that state? No, I did not. But did I put a dent in it? Yes, I did. I exposed the judge for the raving maniac that he was. I exposed the bureaucracy in that county for the liars and cheats that they were. I exposed the news media that was misreporting what was going on. I had a county police officer tell me he was going to retire early, that he hated what he saw. I had a lady that worked in the county courthouse that was with my daughter, one of her classmates. She said, I'm quitting based on what I watched being done to Dan and his lady, and the two police officers refusing to issue the warrant. Do you see what I'm saying? Courage under fire, the willingness to take a stand, that is contagious to our people. You want to make this world a better world, then it starts with you. Don't be looking for other people to join you. That's not why you do the right thing. You do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. As General Stonewall Jackson said during the War of Northern Aggression, duty is ours, consequences belong to God. Duty, doing the right thing, the honorable thing, that's ours. You and I are responsible for that. The consequences of taking a stand against the beast are in the camp of our Father in heaven. Do you have faith or do you not? What do you think this test is all about, folks? Because you're in it. This is a great big test. And I hate to tell you, a lot of people are failing it miserably. It's not that hard. It's simply a test. Do you believe in your heart of hearts? Do you trust me in your heart of hearts? Do you even believe I exist? Do you believe I interfere and intervene in the life of my people? Do you think my laws mean anything? Do you see what I'm saying? As Ella says here, it's our final exam in this journey that you and I have been on for quite some time. This is the final exam, ladies and gentlemen. Do you pass and go on, or do you get escorted to the lake of fire? That's simply meaning you're not worthy of going on. You know there's something beyond this life. You should. Are you telling me that this miserable short existence on this earth is it? Come on, you know there's something beyond here. The exact form it takes and how it works, we're not told that. You don't need to know that because you're never going to be part of it unless you pass the test. So why even worry about it? For the people that have faith and walk in faith and know that they're going to go on, we're not concerned about it. I trust the Father in heaven completely. Whatever it is going to be glorious. Why do I care? Why do I care if it's instantaneously or on resurrection day? Why do I care if I actually have a body or it's spiritual? Why do you care? The goal is to get there and not be left behind, not to be cast out as unfit for the kingdom. It's final exam time, folks. All of that preaching and eschatology and all the debates about what Hebrew says and ancient Greek and the modern English, and you can debate and debate and debate, and guess what? You're face to face with the end of the age right now. No more debating, no more prayer circles, no more church attendance, no more playing churchy, no more playing believer. This is where the rubber meets the road. You are either in his camp or you are not. Just as Messiah said, it's as simple as that. There's only two classes of people walking this earth. Those that walk with him and in his camp, and those that oppose him. That is it. Pick one of those two sides. Sitting on your ass in the bleachers watching it go by is not an option. You're not doing anything is a choice. You're not saying anything is a choice. You've made your choice. You got a lot to think about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's final exam time. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise and the glory. We thank you that this technology, though it is used for evil, it can often be used for good. We pray that through this technology, these words will reach the ears that were meant to hear it. We pray for a quickening of the spirit of your sons and daughters. We pray that they would take their eyes off the things of this world and realize that we belong to you. There are gifts on this world to make our lives a little more convenient and easier and all. That's your blessings to us. That is your gift as a father to his children when they're obedient. And we praise you for that, any little thing that you do for us, Father Yahweh. Every night when my head hits the pillow, Father, you know I thank you for all the blessings that are upon me, more than I can count, for the wonderful people in my life, the people that I talk to, the people I mentor and work with, etc. And they, in turn, lift me up. This is the way you meant it to be. It's not based on money. It's not based on material things. Help our people to see the simplicity of it. Life is not that complicated, Father. Make it clear to them, and also make it clear to them how important this time is. It is the final exam. It's not something way down the road. It's here. It's now. And the final curtain call will be very, very soon. Judgment Day is around the corner. And as you promised us, you do nothing. You do nothing on this earth that you don't send a prophet to warn them ahead of time. Malachi says it so very, very well in that short little book. The people have been warned, Father. Bring the judgment, bring the fire, burn up the dross, burn up the wicked, burn up everything that is not to your liking, that we might see a world as you created it, full of beauty, honesty, justice, truth, love, compassion, instead of this upside-down world that was created by these monsters that walk in shoe leather. Make each and every one of our men warriors and leaders and lions amongst our people. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Walk with us on a daily basis. Give us clear vision to see through the lies and deception, but also give us the courage to take a stand and to defend the weak and the innocent, the widows and the orphans, as you commissioned us to do so long ago. We repent of falling into the trap of man-made government, Father. That was a mistake. And we've been led down the primrose path that leads to our destruction. Help us to get off that path and get on the path that is back to you. We ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.